expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 12 to 2 during football season. It is 7 minutes past the hour. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinklink.com, thinklink.com. So glad to have you joining us here today. Lots to talk about. Wow, Wall Street had another good week, up 5%. We're going to talk about that. And I was spent the last few days in New York City. Yesterday I was on CBS's early show to talk about the banking fees that we talked about last weekend on the show and how you can actually choose a better bank and think about that. So maybe we'll walk through some of that stuff. Like, we're going to answer your questions. Lines are wide open, so call now, 404-872-0750. And the place that I wanted to start is with Occupy Wall Street. So it's been about four and a half weeks since a bunch of people got together and decided that the 99% of Americans in this country who weren't getting the focus, as opposed to the 1% that live on Wall Street, ought to start exhibiting or demonstrating it with all this anger that they have about what's going on with the banking crisis. And it has been derided as something that's just unfocused and nobody knows what they want. And they're a bunch of hippies and they're smoking pot and they're drinking and it's a party and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I don't think people spend a month on the street in the United States because it's a party. I think people are really angry, and we hear it every single week on the show. People are angry and frustrated. The recession is continuing. It's not going away. And what's interesting to me is how Occupy Wall Street movement is starting to grow. And so I was at the conference this week for the Society of American Business Editors and Writers. It's our mid-year conference. It is some of the leading financial writers in the country. Floyd Norris of the New York Times was there. And then, you know, we had him talking to Ken Rogoff from Harvard, who's one of the leading economists in this country, and talked about how the debt levels are just outrageous and unsustainable, really. Not just the national debt, but personal debt. We still haven't shed enough debt. And, of course, they look at numbers in the aggregate, and I kind of look at numbers individually. But I agree. I think we're all laden with debt, and it's really hard. So, meanwhile, what's interesting about Occupy Wall Street is that on Wall Street, it's gotten kind of personal. People are feeling a little personally persecuted by the Wall Street folks, the Occupy Wall Street folks, which is interesting. And the other interesting thing is that this has started to spread across the world. So this weekend in Rome, there were car bombings and bank windows that were broken. I mean, it's the most of this kind of civil unrest activity that Rome has seen in a really long time. I think down in Australia, there or maybe it was New Zealand, there were some of these things. Chicago, there were multiple arrests early Sunday for disorderly conduct. New York authorities arrested 14 people for violating a midnight curfew by sitting in a fountain with no water at Washington Square Park. And then Saturday, there were another 78 people arrested. Minneapolis, somebody was arrested for trespassing, and 150 people were camped out. But, you know, when you start to look at it, like 3,000 people joined an Occupy Denmark for a rally yesterday. They want money, this is a quote, they want money spent in the 99%, and they want to take money not only for the rich, but for the expenses on wars. So it's kind of interesting when you look and see Brussels. About 7,000 people marched in Brussels yesterday. We talked about Rome. There were about 30,000 people who marched in Rome. 2,000 people were marching in the streets of Amsterdam. 10,000 people were marching in Madrid. Right? So when you look around the world, people are starting to have a conversation in a lot of different ways about what's gone on. And even though, you know, a banker over the weekend explained to me, well, you know, we're multi-billion dollar bank. Of course, we're going to have $5 billion dollars in profits. You know, that's like that would be amazing if we didn't have something like that. But, you know, he's like, the banks aren't doing all that well. It just sounds like they're doing well. And, my answer to him is, well, you're doing a whole lot better than most of the people in this country. And they're angry about that. And they feel that they are not getting their due. And we hear it again on the show every week. And my heart goes out to people who send me these emails that they have been in loan modification hell for 3 years. 3 years they've been trying to get loans modified. 3 years the government has tried to put forth a decent proposal to, get these loans brought down to a better interest rate. We've got interest rates at an all-time low or near the all-time record low of about 4% or a little under 4% for a 30-year fixed rate loan. And so many people can't even get them. And people are really upset. And the feeling is now that if you can refinance, you have refinanced. And in fact, the Mortgage Bankers Association on Thursday, when they released their numbers, said they were dismal. Dismal numbers. So, we saw the unemployment number Thursday, again, just over 400,000. That's that's just an unsustainable number. It's not bringing down the unemployment rate. It's really hard to see how we're going to be gathering enough steam to put all these people back to work. It's just really hard to imagine. But I think we have to pay attention to this Occupy Wall Street movement. Even as I told some folks in New York, even if they don't know what they're angry about yet, they're angry. And when people get angry and they don't have enough to occupy their time, i.e. a job, and they don't have enough money to put food on the table and pay the electric bill, they can get very itchy and they can get very upset and they can start to go out and do some real demonstrating. And I think we may be on the cusp of starting to see something like that form. And in the first 4 weeks, you never know when. I mean, even the Tea Party didn't really know what it was about 4 weeks in. And then suddenly they had, Republican money and some of the Republican ideologists sort of behind them and organizing them. And now they've become, a force to be reckoned with. And it took, just a year or two. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here and how this plays out. And certainly we'll be watching, because whatever happens, it's going to have an impact on how we live our lives. There's no question about it. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. 14 minutes past the hour. Dan joins us on the line from Athens. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
What's
Great
on
show.
Your mind? Thank
Great
you.
Show. Okay, try to cut to the chase. I want to refi my 30-year loan. I have about 100. I've got about 26, 27 years left. And the current loan is at $179,000 at 4.875. So I refied 2 years ago, and now I want to refi again to either 10 or 15.
Okay.
Well, the folks that I wish to refi with are underwriters, low overhead, the whole deal. So went to them again. So they indicated to me that if you try to do this, we'll have to wait until you retire, because I'm going to retire at year end. And what I want to do is my pension will be deferred until the middle of January or June 2012. Well, because there won't be any income, quote unquote, coming in. If you follow where I'm going with this.
Yeah, they can't underwrite you. But the question is, why are they asking you, why do they even know you're retiring? This should be because you can't close until January?
No. Let me back up again a bit. They just like to see income, that's, I guess, forthcoming. So my pension will not start until June.
But you are currently employed.
Yes.
You have a W-2.
Yes.
Why do they know that that's coming to an end?
Because I told them.
Oh. Probably tactical error.
You're not the first party. That's why I went to a specialist expertise like you. And I'm honest, because I'm very transparent.
I understand, but you know what? You're being honest to a fault, and now it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So,
well, okay. So can I go to, I won't name it, but my credit union or some other party?
You can go to it. Yeah, you can. The thing is, now you're in October, so if you're retiring in December,
right,
and you don't close before December, it's going to be a problem, because they're going to reaffirm your employment right before closing.
Right.
So if you'd done this in July and you closed in October, you know, whatever happened, happened. So now you have a little bit of a problem. Do you have to retire in December?
Yes.
So I'm not sure you'll be able to refinance fast enough. Then you have to wait until the pension kicks in.
Right.
So that they can establish the regular income again.
Right. Right.
The good news is I don't think interest rates are going anywhere.
Well, I know, and that's what this individual, great people that I'm dealing with, and no fault to them, but I was a little bit agitated when I says, oh, by the way, my pension, I'm now going to defer it. They said, okay, well, you still, we can't really talk until you retire and then your pension kicks in June. And he says, don't worry, I don't think rates are going to go anywhere. And anywhere upwards. So just come back and see me in June. And I thought, gee, I want to get going with this.
Well, you can go. You know, you're mid October, 6 weeks. You know, we're talking Christmas and not that far away. You might be able to get it done. You might be able to get a refinance done in 2 months. That would take you to mid December.
Okay.
If you can. Get a fast, and I would call that a pretty fast refi. So that assumes you have 20% down, you know, at least 20% equity. You've got plenty of cash. Your credit score is great. And you have no funny stuff. And they just do a fat, what I would call a fast and easy refi. And you can close by mid-December. You should be fine.
Okay.
But, you know, if not, and you blow that, then you won't. They won't be able to refinance you. So you'll have to pick it back up in June.
Yeah, I guess these underwriters are held so liable that I guess if things should go awry, they won't because I have good credit and good funds, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think your big problem, Dan, is you just told them you're not going to have income after December.
Yeah, I know. Maybe
not want to do that the next time.
Yeah, I guess it's the old adage to where I showed them. All my cards, and I should.
Well, it's not. You don't have to show them cards they don't need to see.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's fine that you have those cards, but you don't. Right. You know, they're taking a snapshot of where you are today. It's none of their business. What if you decided? You know, you tell me you have to retire in December, but for a lot of people, that's an optional thing, and they may at the last moment decide to push that off another 6 months.
Yes.
So I would try it with your credit union and see what you can do.
Good.
And. If not, then you're just going to wait. But you know what? I think we could be having this conversation. April is when you would start,
yeah.
You know, or June when your pension kicks in. I think we could be having this conversation, and I'd still be saying, you know what? Interest rates still rock bottom low.
Yes. Yes. Now, on that subject, I don't belabor too much time here. Do we think they'll even go lower?
Are we playing chicken here? What, under 4% for a 30-year fix, 3% for a 10-year? That's not good enough for you, Dan.
Well,
really? Because, you know, to get them any lower, we have to be in a depression in this country, which we're nearly at, I think.
Yeah, and I've heard things that they could almost give it away, like in Japan when it got very low there. So you're right.
I think that you shouldn't, you know, this is one of those situations where I tell people, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I just refinanced to a 15-year 3.25%. And I never thought I'd get better than a 3.75% in a 15-year. And before that, a 4.25%, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven with my mortgage rate. So
right.
I think that, you know, when you have this kind of an opportunity, I think you really have to seize the day, lock it in, and just say, I'm done now. And that's really what I hope you're able to do. Let me know how it goes, Dan, all right? 404-872-0750, 21 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show. Stay tuned for more on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elyse Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. So I had a conversation just now with Sam the Man, the real estate attorney in my life, who said, well, we were talking a little bit about our last caller and Dan's situation. And if you have, his feeling is if you have, if you are debating whether or not to retire, then you may not need to say anything to your lender. But if your loan, you have to read the loan documents. If the loan documents require you to disclose any information that is going to affect your income in the near future, then the lenders might require that disclosure. But if it's up in the air, you can decide what you're going to do. So Dan felt pretty certain that he had to retire in December, so he might have had to make that disclosure. There's definitely a question of whether the lender, you know, if a lender says to you, well, you don't really need to tell us that. And my feeling is, you don't need to. But if it does say it in the loan documents and in your application, particularly, if you are signing an application, which is a legal document that says, you know, I don't know of anything that's going to change in the near future, near being somewhat of the, you know, the optimal word there. You know, you have to make that, you have to really play by the rules. I would never recommend that anybody do something that could constitute loan fraud. As you know, I don't believe in doing any of that kind of stuff. So read the loan documents, talk to the lender, be honest, but you don't always need to disclose everything. So we'll just sort of leave it at that and figure it out. All right, 27 minutes past the hour, loads of calls to take, so we're going to do that coming back. There's some information I want to give you about the stock market. Good week this week, up about 5%. I think we're now back in positive territory, maybe for the year, but certainly we're down tremendously from where we were. I don't know. It's kind of a crazy time. 404-872-0750 is our number. Stay tuned. I'm Elise Glink, and we'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Baby, the trees are gone.
6 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB, playing a little bit of Coldplay. Their new album comes out this week. It's very exciting. I'm a big Coldplay fan. It's hard to believe this is number, I think, 5 for them. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glink Show, online all the time. ThinkGlink.com. If you haven't checked out my blog on ThinkGlink.com, you might want to do it. Today, I'm writing about Occupy Wall Street, and I've kind of run down some of the major places that protests have actually happened. I didn't even realize that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was leading protests on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. There is a rally, an organizer called United for Global Change. They told CNN that there would be rallies in 951 cities in 82 countries this weekend, all of them on the Occupy Wall Street. Well, they're calling it Occupy Stockholm, Occupy Hong Kong, Occupy Denmark, Occupy Brussels. It's really very interesting. When you add it all up and you're at more than 100,000 people across the world who have started to say what's going on isn't right and we're hurting, pay some attention to us too, not just the banks. And it'll be interesting to see what the response is. And, of course, we'll stay on top of it for you. 37 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Len joins us on the line from Suwannee. Hi, Len.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Getting ready. Got two questions. The first is that we're getting ready to refi, and I got a quote from my friendly broker down the street. But I've heard all of the ads on this station, you know, for zero closing cost mortgages. Mm-hmm. And just wondered if there were any caveats with any of those companies or anything to be concerned with.
Well, you just have to understand that when you do a zero closing cost loan, and for a while those weren't even around, you're trading interest rate.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're willing to trade a quarter of a point or a little bit more than a quarter of a point, you can probably pay pretty close to zero with some lenders.
Okay. Same on if we went with something like a 7-1 ARM.
Yeah, but I don't know why you would do that.
Okay.
Why would you do that? What's
well,
your thinking?
Probably not going to be here for any longer than maybe 3 or 4 more years.
That's if you can sell.
Okay. Good point.
There are a lot of people who would like to be out who aren't able to do that. And,
right.
And so the ability to leave on demand, so to speak, has been, I would say, cut off at the knees.
Compromised.
Yes, compromised.
Okay.
Nicer word.
Okay, question is we have a second home which is on a rental program. It's in a condominium complex where units are rented out as a resort. And I haven't been able to find any refi. Do you have any suggestions for what I might do from that standpoint because the interest rate's pretty high.
You know, it's very hard to, when you are in a property that's just a rental property and an investment, there are very few lenders who are doing those kinds of loans. And if they are, they want 30 to 40% equity.
Okay.
So do you have that in that property?
Not quite.
Can you add to it a little bit? Do a, what they call a cash-in refinance?
I thought about doing that, and I called a local guy. This is in St. Augustine, Florida, and he just wouldn't, you know, under any circumstances, he just said, you know, we just can't do it. We nobody wants to take the risk these days.
Okay, so then you might be stuck, or you can, you know, shop around for sure, see if there's anybody else. I don't know if you have, you know, a lot of money with your big lender, you know, your main lender for your primary house, maybe they'd take a look at it. National, other national lenders, sometimes local banks are interested, but it's hard. Florida's been hit really hard, and the reality is it's hard to get those properties financed.
No, I think I'm understanding that.
I'm sorry. I mean, again, you know, this idea that you can just refinance at will for some properties has just gone away right now, and I don't see it coming back so soon.
So a local bank would be the most likely option there.
I would try. I'd try local. I'd try national. I'd do all kinds of things. I mean, if your primary residence. Is your primary residence paid off? Oh,
no,
this is the one you want to refinance.
Yeah,
because, you know, if it was closer to being paid off, you could do a some sort of a home equity loan or a cash-out refinance and then use some of that to pay down the rental. But I would shop around some more before I give up.
Okay.
All right?
Fantastic. Thanks.
You're welcome. 40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Karen joins us on the line. Hi, Karen.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I'm a little bit nervous. But,
oh, don't be nervous. We're all friendly here.
Okay. My question is this. I'm a government employee who retired about a year and a half ago. And, of course, I have a pension. But I also have what we call a 457. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Many nonprofits offer a 457, like police forces, for example.
Yeah. And so, of course, I was adding to it when I was working. But now that I'm retired, you can't add to it any longer.
Right.
So I'm wondering, is there any other option for me other than have it, you know, gain interest, but that's it?
Well, you can just invest, you can take the after-tax money and you can invest that separately. Like for a Roth IRA, I don't believe a pension qualifies as earned income.
Mm-hmm.
But are you doing anything else that might give you earned income? Are you teaching part-time somewhere? Or are you working part-time? Mm-hmm. Anywhere you would get a W-2 or a 1099?
No.
Okay.
I'm just... At this point, I'm volunteering, but I'm not working for income.
Okay. So, you know, so you don't get to put away money on a tax-deferred basis anymore. That's not so horrible, but it doesn't mean that you can't just open up a brokerage account and pick out some stocks or mutual funds and start investing that way. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Then if you ever decide you need it, you'll have it.
Yeah. But at this point, just leaving that money alone, letting it ride for 20 years or whatever, or even longer, it's just... probably the best way to go on that.
And your 457, is it doing okay for you, or do you think you could do better?
Well, it's doing pretty well at this point. It took a little bit of a dive way back a few years ago. But it's
you and me and everybody else.
Yeah, it's not doing too badly. I wish I had put more money into it, but I didn't. I was not quite that smart about it, but it's not doing too badly.
Well,
in fact, it's doing pretty well, I guess.
All right, so then there's no reason to take it out right now. You don't need it to live on.
No.
It's long-term money. Just let it sit there and grow. And if you like what it's invested in, you can open up a brokerage account at Fidelity or Vanguard or Charles Schwab or, you know, one of the other low-cost places and just mimic whatever those investments are. You can get those same investments in an after-tax account.
Okay.
And you can just pump some money in there. So that's fun money for you. It's money that'll just grow and, you know, never know. You may need it for something or you may just want to enjoy it someday.
Okay. All right. Well, I love your show, and thanks so much.
Oh, well, thanks, Karen, and thanks for calling, and I didn't think you were nervous at all. 43 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. If you're looking for a little eye candy over the holiday weekend, check out my blog post on Money Watch this week, what you can rent for $20,000 a month. and I go through some different places around the country. Now, I didn't include what Bill Gates just rented in Florida, but he's paying a lot more. I think he's paying something like $120,000 for the month. He's doing it for 4 or 5 months to be near some horse show that his daughter, eldest daughter, is going to be participating in. But that was kind of an extreme rental, $120,000 a month. I just went with $20,000 a month, which frankly seems a little outrageous as it is. Check it out on moneywatch.com. 44 minutes past the hour, James joins us on the line. Hi, James.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, what's on your mind today?
How do we go about getting a, we have a reverse mortgage at this time. How do we go about getting a conventional loan?
How do you want to get rid of your reverse mortgage?
Yes, ma'am.
Why do you want to do that?
We need money, and we just want information about it.
Okay, so you got a reverse mortgage. Was your house all paid off?
No, ma'am.
Okay, but they gave you a reverse mortgage, and that what did that do for you? Did that eliminate your monthly payment?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you don't have any more equity in the house.
No, ma'am.
So how are you going to get a regular mortgage? If you get a regular mortgage, you're going to have to pay the bank every month. This way you don't have to.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm confused.
Now, the one thing we want to know, whenever we had to reverse mortgage, they had my name taken off and just his name put on.
Uh-huh. And?
So if, you know, if anything happens to them, then what do I have to do? Buy out what is owed on the house or what?
So your name is no longer on the deed to the property?
No.
How did that happen? Did you sign some papers?
Well, I, you know, for him to get it, I signed a paper, yeah. So that's what I'd like to know is how do I get my name put back on it?
Okay. You and your husband need more help than I can give you on this show.
Yeah.
You need to talk to a real estate attorney.
Uh-huh.
If you have a paper and pencil, I can tell you how to get one.
Okay.
And you're going to have to go and talk to them because it sounds like you don't really understand what happened.
And, no, I don't.
Right. So let me give you the number. I'd like you to call the Atlanta Bar Association.
Yes.
And or the Georgia Bar Association. And you can ask for the head of the real estate committee. And that person, describe your problem, tell them you heard about us on the show.
Uh-huh.
And that person will send you to a real estate attorney who can help you with this particular problem. And then just talk to that attorney and try and figure out how to go about understanding it. Because what typically happens with a reverse mortgage is when the person dies or leaves the home permanently, all of the money that's owed comes due. And the way that typically is paid off is the house is sold. And then whatever's left over, you would get as the spouse. But if you're a co-owner, there should be a way for you to stay in that property until you die. And I think you're going to need some help figuring out how to do it. Let me know what happens, all right? 47 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Robin joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Lise.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask, I'm trying not to make it too much of a long story. We had an appraisal. He came back with the appraisal being a third of an acre, and our property is a full acre. And
okay.
I sent him a survey that was done. Of course, it was done in 89 when we originally purchased the house. And I walked through the appraisal time with him and showed him all the things in the house. He went outside. It's a fenced acre yard, so he could see that there were no changes to the survey, and he still came back and said, I'm not going to change the appraisal.
What was his reasoning?
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to him directly. I talked through the broker, And the broker said, well, he's going through a death in the family. I just spoke to him briefly. He said it's not going to change the value any, and he doesn't see that he needs to change the appraisal. And I wanted to know, how does that affect me negatively down the line, and how do I get him to change it?
Well, why did you have an appraisal done?
We wanted to refinance because we have a balloon note. Even though the balloon's not due for several years, we wanted to do it now while the rates were low.
Yeah.
But it is an investment property, and so, but mainly
you just
because
hired,
of
you hired an appraisal appraiser separately.
Our broker did.
Your broker, mortgage broker? Or a real estate broker?
Realty broker.
So your real estate broker hired an appraiser, and you're unhappy with the appraisal. Did you already pay the appraiser?
Yes. I paid through a Visa, so I thought about doing a...
You should do a reverse.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what that will do except complicate the appraisal. First of all, this isn't going to hurt you at all.
Okay.
I mean, did you get a sense of what the house is worth?
I think so. I mean, I have a general idea of what it's worth, and...
But what did the appraisal come back at?
It came back as 118.
Okay.
But several of the properties that he compared it to had higher appraisal values and sat on more than a third of an acre. So I thought it would come back higher if I were sat on a full acre.
Well, it might have only come back a little bit higher. Maybe
right,
it would have come back
higher.
At 125 or 130. It wouldn't come
right.
back at like 250.
And that would have made a big difference for us because it would have given us the 20% equity.
Okay, but you don't need 20% equity for an investment property. You need 30 to 40% equity.
Okay.
So well,
we were willing to pay down some amount.
Okay.
For
so
the
really,
thing
okay.
If it could come in within a certain range of a value.
Right, I understand.
I feel like if he would have given us the full acre.
But it doesn't matter what he came back at. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't matter at all what he came back at because he's not your lender. And your lender would never accept his appraisal. They're never going to ask for that appraisal.
Okay.
So you're going to have to pay all over again for another appraisal if you want to refinance. And that's
okay.
And so you need to find a lender, first, who's willing to do a refinance, and second, of an investment property, and then talk to them about what's going on in your neighborhood and what the property prices are, and that you think the property is worth about this, and you'd be willing to pay in to get it refinanced and start there. And you'll have to pay for another appraisal on the other side. So don't worry about this appraisal. And if you want to, you know, hold back on the Visa, you can, whatever you want to do. It doesn't really matter. You're just going to have to pay again. But at least now you have some information when you go and talk to a lender and say, hey, we're really close to, we can get to 30%. Are you willing to refinance us? And that's the conversation you want to have. All right. It is 51 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour. Don't forget to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for a report that takes a look at the final penny tax transportation plan. There's bonus coverage with maps and a list of projects. Check that out. 57 minutes past the hour. Zuby joins us on the line from Swati. Hi, Zuby.
Can you still hear me?
I can. You sound a little bit like you're underwater, but how can I help?
I was afraid that I was going to lose you. I've been driving for a while, but if you can hear me, I was just wondering what to do with my current 401k. I changed jobs, and I was wondering if I should switch it over or just leave it where it is.
I'm going to put you on hold because you're just a little bit underwatery kind of sound. I'm a big fan of leaving things where they are as long as they're performing well for you. So if the 401k and the mix that they have is inexpensive, it's doing well for you, you can leave it there for a while. But don't lose track of it. And this is why on the flip side I sometimes say just take it with you and roll it over. Because you can move it in and then you're there and you're managing that money and you're in the new employer's plan, and it's an easier way to stay on top of it. You also have a choice to roll that into an IRA, I believe into an IRA, and that may be another way to go, where you'll have control over it forever and not have to worry about it. But those are the kinds of things that I think about when looking at a 401k, and you might want to do that as well. 58 minutes past the hour, loads more to talk about, loads more phone calls to take. Check out online. We're talking about Occupy Wall Street today here on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Everybody to the Elise Glink Show at 7 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. So there's a new movie coming out this week. It's called Margin Call. And it's sort of interesting because, well, I think the timing's sort of interesting, as we've been talking about today about the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations, which are sort of the Occupy Hong Kong, Occupy Taiwan, Occupy Rome. They're happening all over the country, all over the world. But the film is called, which is called Margin Call, is set on the eve of the 2008 financial crisis. And the message of that movie is things aren't funny anymore. I'm not sure it was ever funny, but maybe the better way to phrase that is things are a lot more serious today. And as we've been talking about in the last hour, you know, people are thinking, well, if I can't refinance in 6 months, what's going to happen? And the answer is probably not much, because the super low interest rates that we're seeing, this near historic low or at the historic low, is a complete reaction to the confidence in where our economy is, both here and around the world. So it's this Margin Call movie, which is going to be out. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's about an investment bank that bets on mortgage-backed securities that are going to not do very well in the very near future, and it's a 24-hour period. And there's a very talented cast. There's Paul Bettany and Demi Moore and Simon Baker, who I absolutely love from The Mentalist, and Stanley Tucci and Kevin Spacey. And interesting to see, you know, that our artistic conscience in this country is now reflecting what's going on in the economic world as well. So what else happened this week in the economy? It was sort of interesting. Markets rallied on the news that the Rajaratnam, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. He's the former head of the Galleon Group hedge fund. He was sentenced to 11 years in federal prison for insider trading. That is the most severe sentence ever handed down for the crime. He was also fined $10 million. Well, for a guy who's worth a lot of money, that's not so much, but he has spent a lot in defending himself, I think. We saw that Netflix had a flip-flop. I don't know if you're a Netflix subscriber, but they had boosted about 3 months ago their subscription rate 60%. Then they were going to separate out the DVD by mail rental service known as Quickster. It was going to be known as Quickster. That was just a wild disaster, so they rescinded that. We saw the iPhone 4S launch. I was at CBS's early show yesterday morning, and people were lined up around the block still. Absolutely amazing. Apple had all this security out, making sure that nothing was going to happen to them. It's kind of astonishing. Very interesting kind of a week. And yet, stock market was up 541 points. The Dow Global Index was up 11.89. 10-year treasuries ending the week at 2.23%. Just crazy talk all the way around. 404-872-0750. Don't forget to check out my blog on the Equifax Finance blog. This week we're blogging about real estate and what's going on with some trends in credit. Great stuff as well. And if you're on thinklink.com, don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. There's all kinds of cool stuff coming, including in another couple of weeks, I'll be starting to talk about a novel that I'm publishing for somebody, which I think some of you may enjoy reading, called Oxford Messed Up. And I'll tell you more about that in a couple of weeks as we get closer to the launch date, early next month. 11 minutes past the hour, and yes, I guess this means maybe I'm not going to write books for a while. I'm just going to publish other people's books. Terry joins us on the line from Snellville. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Elise. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What's going on today?
I've got a question about an IRA, a traditional IRA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my early 60s. I know at 70, they require you to take the minimum distributions.
70 and a half.
Okay, 70 and a half. Is there any tax advantage to go ahead and start drawing your IRA down now over a period of, say, 5 to 7 years?
I can't say that there is a benefit to it, because the more you draw down, the higher it could push you into a potential tax bracket.
Uh-huh.
Higher tax. So then you would pay more in tax. So I think stretching it out a little bit longer, as long as you can, is a better bet. And what's nice is, you know, you're in your 60s, you probably could stretch that out for, you know, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
So, and, you know, and just be withdrawing until you're in your late 80s.
Okay.
Or early 90s.
All right. I didn't know if the required minimum distribution would put you up into even a higher tax bracket versus just kind of taking out, you know, say, 3 to 5% over the next, you know, 5 to 7 years.
Well, the required minimum distribution, it would drop if you are already withdrawing from it. But I guess I'm not sure why you were doing it unless you needed it. Do you need it?
Not really. I mean, we're getting by pretty good.
Yeah, I think I would just leave it in there. Do you know roughly what the required minimum distribution will be?
I was thinking, I run some numbers on Vanguard, had a little,
a calculator?
Yeah, toolbox, mm-hmm. or calculator on there. I think it was about 20% the time I got to 70. That's why I was wondering, versus taking out 20% in 1 year, if I could maybe spread out like 10%.
No, you don't have to. I think you must not be looking at the right thing. You don't need to take out 20% per year out of your as a required minimum distribution. That's way too high.
Yeah, maybe I might have punched in the wrong numbers there when I did the calculations.
Yeah, it's based on where actuaries think your life expectancy is going to be.
Okay.
At age 70, and it's probably like at 85 or 90. I mean, you'll probably have 15 or 20 years to withdraw that money.
Okay.
So I don't think you have to worry about that. I would talk to, if you can't understand it, you can call Vanguard and speak to one of their retirement specialists.
Uh-huh.
And they should be able to walk you through how to calculate that accurately.
All right, then.
All right.
Okay, thanks for the information.
You're welcome, Terry. Thanks for calling the show. 13 minutes past the hour on 404-872-0750. Claudette joins us on the line from McDonough. Hi, Claudette.
Thank you for taking my call, Lee.
You're welcome. What's going on today?
Well, my husband is going to be 66 in March, and he's going to retire. And we have a mortgage on our home, probably 6 years left, and we owe, I think it's $73,400. So we went to our mortgage, the bank that we have our mortgage with, and talked to them, and they just didn't give us a good scenario. So I called one of the local credit unions and talked to them, and I wanted to check with you and see if this seems to be a good scenario for us. They have said they could give us 3.5% interest rate on a 10-year loan with a closing of $1,474. So when I called them back the second time, then the loan officer said, at this time, there was also a 1%, and I think she called it an origination fee of a little over $700.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my husband's retiring, we're wanting to get our payments down. We have extremely high payments, and I have been paying extra every month this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this a good scenario for us?
I think you can do better than this.
Do you?
You do.
I called another credit union where we have an account, and I was told by them that this was a good deal and we should go take it.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yes.
I was hearing last weekend that there were folks in Atlanta who were getting 3% or 3.25% on a 10-year. But the closing costs you're being quoted are pretty low. I would push back on the 1% origination fee.
Okay, and when I first talked to him the first time, which was probably the week before, I wasn't given that information about an origination fee.
I would go in there and try and get something in writing from them,
uh-huh.
and I really think 3.5% in a 10-year is high. The
okay.
reason your closing costs are so low is that that 10%, that 3.5% should be 3.25% or 3% for a 10-year.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. If I said 3.5, it's 3.25%.
Oh, that's a big difference, actually.
I'm sorry. And if I
Maybe I said 3.5, 3.25% interest.
Okay, so 3.25% on a 10-year with closing costs of $1,474. That seems reasonable, but the 1%, I would push back on the 1% origination fee.
To try not to have to pay that?
Yeah, don't pay that.
Okay.
They're already making money because it should be 3% or a little below 3%.
Yes.
So, and what I like is that you're only taking on 4 years of payments.
Right.
Now, I wish you weren't taking on any years of payments.
I do, too.
But 4 years isn't bad.
Well, with the payments would be cut less than half.
Sure, because you've already paid off most of this loan.
Right. And so my thoughts were, if we went ahead and did this loan, that then we could continue until he retires to keep paying the same amount we pay plus the extra.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he retires, then we could cut back to the actual payments they quoted me and that we could handle.
I think that's fine. You know, we want you to be in a place that you can handle this.
Yes.
And if you want us, if you're committed to staying in the house.
We are.
Then this is a really important thing to do, is to make it affordable. So if this makes it affordable for you, then this is what you should do.
Well, our income is going to go down tremendously. I mean, really tremendously. And we really don't have any outstanding bills, just our credit cards, and we pay those off every month right now. My husband has a 401k with the company he works with. Should we just leave? You know, I don't know a lot about the 401k plan he does, but is that...
Just roll it over into an IRA, do a trustee-to-trustee transfer, and that way there won't be any tax taken out of it, and
uh-huh.
Then you'll have more control over it. And I think that when you retire, usually it's a good idea to roll your money over into an IRA that you control that's out of the company's hands.
But I guess my question is, can we draw from that once he retires? He'll be 66.
Yes, you can. If
is
you
that
need
a
to.
Good idea?
Well, it depends. If you need it to live on, it is a good idea. That's what it was there for. If you don't need it to live on, I would leave it until, you know, you guys are 70 and a half, and then start to withdraw the minimums that you're required, because there will be a minimum distribution that you're required to do. But I wouldn't, you know, if you don't need it, if you do need it to live on, then of course, that's what this money is there for. But it sounds like you're doing the smart thing, Claudette. What you're doing is, you know that in March your income's going to be cut. You are managing your expenses downward, which is important. You want to make things more affordable. You're working on cash flow. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing in retirement. And you've got a good handle on all of your resources. I would just suggest you make sure that everything is lined up, that your wills are in order, that both of you guys are named as beneficiaries on each other's accounts, that all that little sort of estate stuff that maybe you've put off, that this is a good time to get that done as well. As long as you're hauling out all the paperwork and looking it over, it's a good time to make sure everything is in order. Thank you so much for your call, Claudette. 19 and a half minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Our number, 404-872-0750. When we come back, we do have a prize pack to give away today. It's a good one, so stay tuned for that. We're going to have more of your questions coming up next on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
25 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, and I've got a prize pack to give away. The value, $235. It's just my kind of prize pack. A four-pack of tickets to see the Picasso to Warhol exhibition now through April 29th at the High Museum of Art. That should be amazing. A maintenance agreement for your home's HVAC, courtesy of Shumate Air Conditioning and Heating. And a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Taste of Atlanta, October 22nd and 23rd at Tech Square in Midtown Atlanta. All this can be yours for $235 if you are the fifth caller. The prize pack line, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Fred. He's going to take your call. Good luck. 404-872-0750 is our regular number, so let's take a quick call, see what we can do. Joy joins us on the line from Conyers. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind today?
I've just been thinking a lot lately about my retirement. I know I'm quite young to think about it, but I want to have a plan set aside. I am 29 years old. With my company, I work for a government company. I put 6% in and they match at 6%.
Nice.
So right now I'm sitting at about $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Between $35,000 and $40,000 last time I looked at it.
Great.
Is there anything else at this point I should be doing? Should I be trying to put more money back?
Well, I would put as much money as you can. If your match is 6%, that's great. You're putting in enough to get the match. But then what I would do is if you got some extra cash, do a Roth IRA. Have you done that yet?
No, I have not.
Roth IRA allows you to put away up to $5,000 in after-tax money. You can invest it any way you want. And that money will grow tax-free forever. But it has a lot of other kinds of benefits to that account. One of the biggest benefits is that now when you're in a lower tax bracket, you're salting away money, and this money will now grow tax-free forever. So if you ever get into a different kind of a tax bracket, or if you ever wanted to take out money but not pay tax on it, you'll have that option.
Okay.
So why don't you go to, where do you have any, do you have money in Fidelity or Vanguard? Have you ever opened up an account at Charles Schwab, anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Pick one of those and open up a Roth IRA. And what you'll end up doing is making a decision about where to invest the money. I would recommend that you go with cheap index mutual funds, a total index mutual fund, a total bond market fund, and an international index fund for international companies. That's what I would put it in. Divide it up, half in stocks, half in bonds, or 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. And then just keep salting up to $5,000 a year into that account. You will be really happy that you did. Thanks so much for your call. 27 minutes past the hour. News, weather, and traffic coming up next. Then more of the Elise Glink Show here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks so much for joining us today. Delighted to have you on board. I'm Elise Glink. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are online all the time. If you haven't checked out my website, you should go to thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It gives you all kinds of great links. It comes out on Thursday mornings. We have all kinds of great links in there to really terrific, all kinds of information. One thing that I wrote this week for the Equifax Finance blog, I was writing about when celebrities make money mistakes and what happens to them. Wesley Snipes is somebody that we talked about in the blog, and there are some other fairly well-known celebrities that we mentioned because, it's very hard to stay on top of what you're doing with money. And, for people with a lot of money, like great celebrities, unfortunately, you make mistakes too. So check that out at the Equifax Finance blog. blog.equifax.com, or just go to equifax.com and you can click on Finance Blog right at the top. It says about the Finance Blog. Just click that on and you will see it. I'm under the real estate section. 404-872-0750, 37 minutes past the hour. Linda joins us on the line. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hello, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. My question is, I've been trying to refinance my investment property for the last year, and I'm underwater, and everyone I've talked to said I have to come to the closing table with at least $30,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
My question, do you think it's feasible for me to do that or try to make two extra payments per year to accelerate, to bring the payments down quicker?
Well, if you come to the table, what's your interest rate on the loan?
6.250.
It's not actually too bad. I mean, it seems bad compared to 4%, but you're not going to get that anyway with an investment property.
Uh-huh.
You might only get 5 or 5.5%. So you're talking
uh-huh.
about lowering it about a 1 percentage point.
Uh-huh.
When you're underwater, though, that's really tough. So coming up with $30,000 in cash versus how many extra payments are you going to make a month or a year?
Yeah, two.
Two payments a year?
two extra payments per year, right.
Okay, and how much is your monthly payment?
$936.
So you're talking about coming up with an extra $2,000 a year?
Yes.
Okay. It seemed like that would be a lot easier to come up with than $30,000 in cash.
Yes, but I had that in savings, and I just wanted to know which would be more economical for me to hurry up and pay this loan off. Because I was going to refinance on a 15-year.
Well, how much do you have left?
$106.
All right. So if you just put down, instead of refinancing, if you just put down $30,000 in cash and you have $106 left, that's going to bring you down to $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want you to completely drain your savings. So do you have anything above the $30,000?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I wouldn't even suggest you put down more than $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather you keep about $15,000 in cash.
Okay.
But if you put that in, how many years left do you have on this loan?
It was 30-year. I've been in it 7.
Okay. So 7 years, you've got 106 left. You pay down 15, it brings you to 90,000.
Mm-hmm.
If at that point you start putting down 2,000 extra a year,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to find that you're going to pay off that loan quickly. And it may even overcome, because you could pay $5,000-$7,000 to refinance this investment property.
Right.
That's 3 years of extra payments. I would much rather see you spend it on the actual paying down the principal of this than to try and do this refinance for 1 percentage point.
Oh, okay. Now, when is the best time to make the extra payments?
Well, if you make it at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
it's slightly better, but only slightly better than if you make it a piece of it every month. But I kind of like the regularity of doing it every month.
Mm-hmm.
So either you should give them $2,000 extra at the beginning of every year
mm-hmm.
and document it.
Okay.
And make sure that it gets recorded correctly.
Okay.
Or every month you should do, say, I don't know, if it were $24,000, you would do an extra, or $2,400, you'd do an extra $200 a month.
Okay. So either if I do $200 a month, what was it per year in January? I'm trying to figure out what you just said. Do the two extra payments on Senate in January.
If you do two extra payments in January,
mm-hmm.
if you just send them a check for $2,000,
right.
it's slightly better because now you're more quickly paying down that loan. So
okay.
now more of your interest, more of your payment goes, the rest of the payments in the year goes to pay down a lower amount.
Okay.
So you would take it from 106 right at the beginning of the year to 104.
Uh-huh.
So now your payments are paying down $104,000 as opposed to $106,000 or $105,500, right? So it's slightly better. You save slightly more interest. That's why if you do a big cash infusion of $15,000,
mm-hmm.
and now you start doing the $2,000 a year on top of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So your $15,000 would take you down to $91,000,
mm-hmm.
and then you're down to $89,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now look where you've come. You've already down to $89,000, and now all of your payments are paying that down that much faster.
Okay.
So that's what I think might be the best use of your cash. And then we still have $15,000 in cash, which is good because hopefully that's enough for a couple of months of payments. And hopefully, do you have this property rented out?
Yes.
Great. So hopefully you're getting enough to cover some of your payments.
Yes,
or all
I am.
Of your payments. That's great. Uh-huh. And so this is another way to just get it paid off pretty easily.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for listening to the show. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Carrie joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there.
How are you?
Very well, thank you, ma'am.
What's going on?
My father, back in the 80s, sold a house to a gentleman and held the mortgage himself.
Okay.
The man has now passed away, and his daughter does not want to pay the mortgage payments anymore.
Okay. When does the 80s? I mean, that was almost 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a 10.5% loan, so it still holds a lot of money on it.
Okay.
And so it's about $50,000 now still.
Okay.
And she wants to give the house back to us, basically.
Okay. Take it.
Well, the question is, do we foreclose or just take a deed in lieu of foreclosure?
Just do a deed in lieu of foreclosure. You know, get a real estate attorney. Do it as quickly and simply as possible. Your father made a lot of money off of that loan.
Indeed.
I'm sure he more than made back the cost of that loan.
Okay.
I mean, you would be, it would be fine if you don't want the house back, which I'm sure is worth more than $50,000.
It is, yeah.
So take that. If she, she's being very foolish, the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She should just come back to you and renegotiate, or she should go and get a different loan and pay you off, is what she should do.
I understand.
So she's being very foolish. So I would just be nice to her back and say, look, let's just do a deed in lieu.
Okay.
We'll take it back. I'm not even going to report it to the credit history, you know, credit people. Your father's gone. We're so sorry. He was a great guy. You know,
yes.
Thank you. And just be kind about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any gotchas to that?
I don't think so, but that's why I said call a real estate attorney, because I want to make sure the paperwork is right.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be filed correctly.
Okay.
So, do you know how to find a good real estate attorney, or do you have one on staff?
No.
Okay.
Suggestions?
Sure. Let's see. You're in Lawrenceville. I'd call the Atlanta Bar Association.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask for the head of the real estate committee.
And ask who he recommends.
And ask who they recommend, because they really know all the good real estate attorneys. Tell them what you're trying to do. And they may say you don't even need to file a deed in lieu. Maybe you just, you know, there may be other ways to go about doing this.
Okay.
All right. And I'm so sorry. When did your father pass?
Well, actually 3 years ago now, but we're fighting it, doing things with the estate, and then my mother passed away, too, so it's gotten more complicated.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But they both were great folks. They did good lives.
Yeah, it sounds like they raised a nice son. So
well, thank you.
Good luck to you, and I'm sure it'll work out.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pam.
45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 is our number here at the phone, at the show. That's our phone number at the show. And the lines are open if you want to call. Deborah joins us on the line now. Hey, Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've got a mortgage that it's 30 years and it's 6.25.
Okay.
And I've been paying $500 extra a month. So,
how long have you had the loan?
For about 13 years, but I refied. So it says that I, in 21 more years, I would have it paid off. But according to my calculations, I'll have it paid off, December of next year. But my only situation is the $500 is now starting to kill me because my fiance lost his job. So.
Oh.
What would you think would be the best thing for me?
Okay, so the first thing is you might need to do or hire somebody to do an audit of your mortgage account.
Okay.
Because you've been paying so much extra, and it says 21 years that it would be paid off, but how much do you have actually left on the loan balance?
It says on my paperwork probably about $14,000.
Oh, okay. So you are really close to paying this thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you simply stop making the extra payment for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're paying an extra $6,000 a year, so probably mm-hmm. Probably in a year and a half you would be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it will go back to being something much more reasonable, and when your fiance or your boyfriend gets another job, you can go back to your schedule of paying off this loan pretty quickly.
Okay.
Do you have any money in savings?
Yeah, I have money in savings. I have money in savings, yes.
Okay, and how much do you have?
Probably about $25,000.
Okay, so you could just pay this off entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do that? You'd still have a lot of money in cash, and now all the money that you were shelling out is just going to go right back into replenishing your savings.
Okay.
I think that might be not a bad way, because you are not making a dime on your savings.
No, not at all.
But if you pay off this loan, think of it. You're going to get the net value of that 6.25% is really coming to you, and that's what you're earning by paying this off.
Right, right.
So why don't you call the lender and ask for a payoff amount and figure out how to get them a check for that payoff amount, and then you have to double check to make sure it's really all paid off, because sometimes
right.
it isn't. And make sure you get the release of the mortgage and be done with it. And now you've got, what's your regular payment without the extra?
The regular payment is like $624, something like that.
So now you're going to have an extra $1,100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, But in essence, I'm not, because I'm afraid that we're not going to be able to continue that $500. So it sort of scares me to take $16,000-$17,000 out of savings, because that's sort of my cushion. What if something happens to me? I mean, okay. I don't know.
Well,
it's scary.
Okay, that is a little bit scary. On the plus side, then you don't have your monthly payments, so that gives you the extra $600 a month on top
right.
of the $500 that was too much.
Right.
So you've got a little bit more of it, and you've still got money in the account as a cushion.
Right.
But okay. refinancing is not going to make any sense for you. There's nothing left. You could just go back to paying the $600 a month, and then you've got all of your savings. You can also pay a little bit as you see that things are going okay. You can take a little money out of your savings and help pay that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely up to you at this point. Even at $614 a month, I would guess that you've just accelerated the heck out of it.
Yes,
and so
I have $500 every month.
It will not take, it's not going to take 21 years to pay off $14,000. I mean,
maybe
it takes you three or four more years.
Okay.
But if you find that he gets a job and things are better, I think just getting rid of that payment altogether would probably bring you more comfort. But you need to be comfortable about it.
Right.
So if having $25,000 in the bank lets you sleep at night, leave it in the bank. Just go back to paying the $614.
Right. Because I've lost a lot of money in the stock market,
I hear you, sister.
So that's so scary.
Yeah. It is scary.
Thank you so much for all your help.
You're welcome, Deborah. You hang in there, okay?
All right, thanks again.
Okay. 49 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Don't forget to check out today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They have a report looking at the final penny tax transportation plan. There's some bonus coverage with maps, a list of projects. You'll want to take a look at all of that today. We've got news, weather, and traffic now coming up at the top of the hour, 10 before the hour on AM 750, and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Now here you go.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Next week, it's Bulldog Off Week, so that means we're going to be on at our regular time, so 11 to 1. Then we go back to football time. It gets a little confusing this time of year, but we're here, we're live, we're hanging out with all kinds of great information on News Talk WSB. We had a couple of people call in, and we've had so many calls about our IRAs and 401ks today, and questions about the IRA minimum distributions, required minimum distributions. So there's a great calculator. This is what some callers said, and it's true. I just tested it out. Great calculator on bankrate.com. which is really good financial information. They have a great little calculator. It's easy to use. Go to search on the toolbar for retirement, and then you'll see a little in teeny tiny writing. They should probably increase the size of that, by the way. Required minimum distribution. And it talks to you about, and there's some great information at the bottom, how this works. And it typically is about 4 to 4.5% per year if you never want to run out of money. So I put in that my account balance was $600,000 as of 12/31, the year prior to the distribution. How old are you? Is your birthday after June 30th? You know, is your sole beneficiary a spouse? Whatever that is. And so it goes and it tells you, it calculates. Well, you can put in whatever numbers you want, but it calculates exactly how much you can distribute and what it's based on. And then underneath you get all the little notes, which is great. So I recommend it. Bankrate.com, it's free. It gives you a lot of great information. They also have built out, they started with just mortgages and like auto loans, and they've really got some great calculators and a good news and advice section as well. It's 57 minutes past the hour. Our time is up. I'm so sorry. Jeff and Jen, I didn't get to your calls, but you can email me. I will try to get to those questions. ThinkGlink.com. The Occupy Wall Street story is up. I'll try to put up some show notes, including a link to Bankrate.com as well. I hope everybody has a good week. We will be back next week at 11 p.m. just to make sure that we get everything in. And then coming up next, stay tuned. There's Mel Robbins, then Dr. Bruce Feinberg, Adam Goldfein, my good buddy, is back at 4 o'clock, then Alan Hunt and Kim Komando. All that and more with weather and traffic and news on News Talk WSB. Have a great week, everybody.